G'day everyone, my name is Cam. I produce our podcast here at H3O Church, and I just want to let you know that the first half of this podcast in particular, the audio isn't great, but then it gets a lot better in the second half. Hope you enjoy.
Soul Survivor is a youth ministry and a young adult ministry. We've been going for 26 years. We help churches and youth groups to know Jesus in word, spirit and action. So we love people to really know that Jesus loves you heaps. We love people to know the Holy Spirit's leading in your life, and that will always end up in action for God's kingdom. So that's our little elevator moment of what we say. And it's been a real joy to see loads of young people over all the years come to know Jesus and to encourage his church. So it's real privilege.
Well, if you've got a Bible, and I like to turn up in the middle of the Bible to a book called the Psalms and come to Psalm 57. Psalm 57 is what we're going to read and think a little bit about this afternoon, especially as we think about singing to God. Is where we're going to be concentrating on. So Psalm 57, and we're going to look at verse 7 to 11. So I'm what's called a PK, a poor kid, a pastor's kid, kind of a kid sometimes. And I grew up in a place called Ryde, in the suburb of Ryde, and I grew up in the church, church cordial, church biscuits, church clothing, a cemetery right next to me. It was weird. And when I was 12, my youth pastor handed me his drum kit for 3 weeks. He went on a holiday, and my poor mum and dad had no say in it. He just delivered it, stuck it in mum's and dad's bedroom, and I had a tape cassette player, and a tape cassette, and the worship leader of the day in my life was called Amy Grant, and she sang a song called Sing Your Praise to the Lord. And for 3 weeks I learned how to play drums to this song. Now at my church I didn't mind singing. When I was younger we sang hymns, and hymns is a word that talks about songs that are a bit old. And we sang them, and then we had an orange book, because in our day there was no projector. We had an orange book, and the book was called Choruses. And that's because the songs were as long as a chorus. That was it. Kind of good, kind of not good. And then we had songs about a special clap. And it was this song you sang that had a special clap to it. If you remember it? And that was exciting as it got. And for young people to be a part of it, we had songs that were written in handwriting on a big white piece of paper, and you would stand up and hold it. That was like a special thing you could do in the church. So I didn't mind singing when I was growing up. I didn't totally get into it, but I didn't mind it. Until the day that the youth pastor said, okay, I want you to learn drums to play in the church. Now, you never introduce a drummer if they're fast, and they're not meant to be fast. When I'm nervous, I speak quickly, and when I drum and I'm nervous, I go too fast, and it frustrates everyone. And so, as a beginner, I would make everyone annoyed, so they wouldn't let me in the church band until I slowed down to what it was meant to be. When I was 15 is when I started to get the hang of it, and it helped me to be more engaged in singing to God. Because up until then, we sang about God, we kind of sang for his glory, but we didn't really sing to him. It wasn't really a personal thing going on in that kind of way with God. But it was personal in the sense of I had faith in him. Then what happened? Everything changed around 16, 17. What changed in my life was not the songs, but God's love and faithfulness. The first time in my life got through my head and my heart and my life. By the time I was around 16, 17, I accepted that God loved me and he was faithful towards me. And in the church, the song started to change from special clap on a white piece of paper, which was fun and good and helpful, to songs that were, there were some songs more about singing to Jesus. building a personal relationship with him through the songs. And that was when things for me really clicked and changed in my relationship with God and in our church. There was a network of churches that is called the Vineyard, at the Vineyard Church. And they, at one time, in the Sydney Cricket Ground in 1989, it was packed with Christians rocking up to sing to Jesus these choruses. Just people in love with God because they'd accepted God loved them. Moved from kind of like what you would say, respecting God, to loving God. You need both. But a lot of us had grown up respecting who God was, but not like loving him. And these are some of the things we just take kind of like for granted today. That was my journey. That's not your journey. You've got your journey. And today, all of us as H3O are on a journey with God to grow in loving him in a personal way. And that's what we kind of want to briefly help this afternoon with in regards to the singing part of our time with God. I want to acknowledge there's many, 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 many ways you can spend time with God and engage with God. I want to cover all of our bases, yes, but you've asked me and asked to come and help with the singing part. So I love mowing lawns for Jesus. And I've seen way more conversations open up for Jesus for me in that space. What we've done through Soul, a lot of young people have shared about Jesus through mowing lawns. But I've seen a lot of young people as well come to know Jesus through the music and through the song. So that's what we want to help on this afternoon. So look again with Psalm 57. The first thing we looked at in verse 7, my heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake my soul. Awake harp and lyre or guitar or name your instrument. What's your favourite instrument? Triangle. Excellent. I will awaken the dawn with your triangle. The first thing we'd love to encourage this afternoon when it comes to singing is get your headphones on. When sports people often go out and play sport, before they play the sport, what are they doing? They've got their headphones on. What are they doing? They're psyching up, they're getting in the zone. When we come to church through these wonderful brown doors, they're fine. When you come through, am I in the zone? Have I made a decision like the psalmist makes a decision? I will awaken the dawn. I've made a decision. I know what I'm doing. I'm locked in. I know what I'm like. I don't come in the zone. I've been listening to Enya, one of her songs called Watermark from Delrose to here this afternoon to help me lock in. That's what I do. That's not what you do because not many people listening to it, but what do you do to help you lock in to make a decision to sing to Jesus? What do you do? I enjoyed a TV show in COVID where they stuck a word on top of a door called believe, and they would whack it to get in the zone to believe what they're about to do. What do you do to help you go, I've made a decision, I'm hot, it's 34 degrees, it's muggy, but I'm still going to make the decision to come and worship the Lord. Put the headphones on. In my day, you weren't allowed to listen to any other music than Jesus music, which was a bit hard in my land because it was cassette tapes and yeah, I had a few. But I kind of appreciate what they were trying to help us do, which was to focus on the Lord for just one day in the Sabbath. I know there's lots we can talk about there, but to make the point, I will awaken the dawn. I've made a decision. Singing works heaps better if we come in and go, I know what I'm here to do. Often you'll hear a worship leader say, oh, it's the first two songs that, you know, people warm up and And they get a bit cross, our worship leaders, don't they? Like, that, you know, they didn't enjoy the first two songs. It was like a waste of time. And it's like, well, that's how people are locking in. But if I locked in the car park before I came in the doors, that might help our gathering. So I do want to put the challenge out, H3O, but still like me after this, please. To help us to sing to Jesus a little bit easier, maybe we could consider, if you're walking with the Lord, maybe you could consider locking in before you come. Just like you do before dinner, and you've got to lock in and bring out all your questions to promote community at dinner. Yes? Just like you do before work, and you've got to lock in before you arrive at work. And I want to put out the grace disclaimer. It's so fine if you don't lock in. Yes? A little bit of lock in would help at times. But it's so fine if you don't lock in. So please help me, please hear me say that. But it could help us out a little bit more if we thought about what we're doing. I will awaken the dawn and make my decision. Put the headphones on. Second point, ready. Verse 9, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. There is an absolute public part of what we're doing here this afternoon with one another. Public in the sense of not with the doors open. Public in the sense of you are with other people here in the room. And it's an absolute journey with learning to be yourself amongst one another and feel accepted and feel, no matter where I'm at, you'll love me. And that is a huge and important part to this. And so I want to say, what helps singing with God is just you and me being okay with being you and me. If you come in going, I can't harmonize. I don't feel like it. We want you to know it's absolutely fine. We want you to know that you're absolutely welcome. We want you to know that you can sing among the peoples just how you are. And it's an absolute journey as a church to get used to one another in singing to God and with God. And the faster or the more intentional we go with talking about it so that we are more relaxed about it, the better it goes. The more you feel okay with being who you are in the amongst a meeting and turning to one another and saying, I like you how you are, the better it will, the easier it will go. So when the psalmist says, I'm going to sing among you, among the people, to sing the last song, would you join us? Would you go?
Be comfortable doing that. I shouldn't say we're not going to do it. I don't know what we're going to do, but how would you go with that? I think, am I right, Jess? You sang to the Lord in a park recently with worship. Could we just say good on you, youth, for singing publicly about Jesus to Jesus in a park?
Yeah.
No, like, could we say thank you to them? Like, yes. Is it okay as Australians to encourage one another? It's hard. I find it hard to be public with Jesus and not feel weird. You probably don't. It's my issue. I want to sing you among the peoples. I want to sing among you among the nations. And that's a real journey to learn to accept who you are, where you're at, and that will help us with one another to grow, to feel more comfortable in this time together. And the third and last point, love to encourage this afternoon. So we thought about putting our headphones on, locking in a little bit. I just wanted to mention there about growing to sing among the peoples, you just being comfortable about who you are. And this is kind of linked to it, the last part. Verse 11, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. I just feel like when David is saying this, and this is a bit of context, is he's saying this when he's in a cave, actually, and outside the cave is Saul, a king who's trying to get him. So in a cave, he's saying, God, be exalted above the heavens. He's just going for it. And it brings up in me, and I know it's a bit strange to say, but I hope this kind of works, is barn dancing. Or whatever you call, what do you call it? A bush dance or a barn dance or a, or a, I don't like that dance. So I want to bring this up to make the point that we need some help with growing better at being, saying to God, you just are exalted. I'm just going to go for it. Because I think that's the point of barn dancing, isn't it? So I don't love dancing. I don't mind it as a dad in the house, and you can do your dad dance, like you're weird, you know, and everyone just goes, what are you doing, you know? But publicly, I've always struggled with dancing. Weddings, I just find it hard. I'm that guy that, yeah, I know, it's not good, but I sit there and I should feel more freer and happy to get up and boogie, yes? Is anyone else in this place dance, or am I with the non-dancers? Well, us non-dancers, I appreciate the role of the barn dance, which has someone to help you do something that anyone can do to be a part of it. It helps us to grow and let go of our inhibitions and to say, and I'll link this to God now, to say, God, be exalted above the heavens. The first time I was in church and our church started to not put their hands in their pockets, you know, like the singing to Jesus waiting for the bus dance? Yeah? Fine. If you're engaging with the Lord wholeheartedly in that kind of way, that's absolutely fine. But there's sometimes a time when you go from like this to you seeing a lost, long friend. When you see a lost, long friend, what is your body like? It's not like that, is it? With our bodies in the Bible, it talks about using them. And it talks about lifting up your hands. It talks about kneeling to the extent. I love having this one, fun with this one, because I grew up in a church called an Anglican church, a network of churches called the Anglicans. And they loved kneeling so much that they built kneelers under the chairs. That's how much they loved it. And they put padding there to help us all out. And, you know, every service we would kneel. And I'd be like, oh, this is annoying. I don't want to kneel. But everyone kneeled. And as we knelt, they were trying to help us engage our bodies before the Lord to kneel before him. Took me ages to work that out. So when people started using their hands, like going from here to here, and there's a big jump, I was like, I don't like this. Well, I don't like it. And then I found myself singing a song to Jesus and actually really loving him rather than just liking him. And I found my hands leaving the bus stop pose to going to here. And then I understood that this is just a body way of saying to Jesus, I'm open. The same way at Christmas you do it. And then, I don't remember when it was, but I saw other people doing this, like, I'm here. Or what were they doing with their hand? They're sticking it up here. And then if they were really excited, they go, two. Yes? And I was like, what are you doing? And then I'd go to a rock concert and I'd see them doing it there. Not for Jesus. But I was thinking, okay, in your bodies at a rock concert or at soccer, someone scores a goal, do you do this? Please, all of us, again, just disclaimer, you do what you want to do before the Lord. I just needed a barn dance caller in my life to help me be more free with God. Does that mean then, Matt, I need to do this? No. Does it mean I need to do this? No, it doesn't. It means that you and I need to express our praise and thanks to God from our hearts, but to really go for it. And I needed a barn dance caller in my life to help me to do it, to help me to worship the Lord with my knees, with my hands, with clapping. Oh, I love clapping. Too much. Shouting is in the Bible. Oh, we're not doing that. But I'm at a youth camp once a year where they shout to God, and you know what? It's to God, it's for God, and in my body what's happening is I'm just feeling passionate for Him. So, H3O, you do not need to shout, dance, put up your hands. You don't. And there's no, can we turn to one another and say, there is no pressure and awe to do that. What is happening, though, here in the meeting is we're here to lift up God's name, be with Jesus, love Him, and go for it with Him. So what do we want to do? And each week it can be whatever is happening in your heart, because that's what it's all about. So I hope I'm covering the bases with worship is about to God and for God and with God. The Holy Spirit is the worship leader. We're all just trying to follow Him. And we're all trying to do that together. When we have sausage sizzle or biscuits and cordial, we're following the Holy Spirit, aren't we, when we're meeting with one another? We're wondering what to talk about, aren't we? We're wondering how I can encourage you when you tell me that you hate your job. Like, we're always following the Spirit. So let's be a church that makes a decision again to follow the Spirit, to lift up God, to worship Him in singing in particular, and think about, am I holding back? Could I try something new? Could I express to Jesus what I think about Him in a new way? And let that come from the heart. H3O, bless you. And we're all on a journey. So we're going to sing some songs to Jesus where it's absolutely fine that you do whatever you want to do. Yes? But if I can be a barn dance caller for just a moment and say, would you consider as you're singing to Jesus, just expressing to Him what you think and believe and love about Him? And you don't have to feel great. It doesn't have to be a great song, because it's not about that. It's about Him. So why don't we start standing, and then if you end up sitting, kneeling, doing whatever you want to do, that's absolutely fine. But just let's be aware with our bodies and our heart and our mind, our soul. We're here with the Lord. We're here with You, God. So, Lord, over these songs, we do want to worship You. We do want You to do what You want to do. Come, Holy Spirit.